Hello, welcome to Ryan Talks Tax, a podcast to keep you up to date on the latest developments in Canadian tax and government funding. I'm Jim Day. Today, we're going to talk about the current state of Canadian audit activity. Has it returned to pre-pandemic levels? Who better to ask than the Ryan professionals who help our clients with audits all the time? We're joined today by Jeff Shaw, the director and leader of the Client Support Services Group at Ryan, and Carol Walker, a senior manager from our sales tax advisory practice. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So in the early stages of the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, we saw that many audits were interrupted or delayed, specifically as the tax authorities kind of had to adjust to the new reality, like all of us did. And of course, one of the specific problems they had to address was the sudden need to have a large number of employees work remotely. You know, here we are, you know, more than 2 years in, and as more people start to head back to the office, not everybody, mind you, but a lot more people start to head back to the office, and, you know, the tax authorities have had some time to address some of those issues. You know, what are we really seeing out in the field? You know, has the audit activity increased? I don't think it's back to pre-pandemic levels, but I think the expectation was we would see audit activity start to pick up by now. What are you guys seeing in the field? Carol?
Well, thanks for asking that, Jim. What I'm finding, at least the conversations I've had, I don't think a lot of the auditors are actually back in the office. So they're still working remotely. Typically, when you call, they want to go through that spiel, let you know that they're calling on their cell phones. The good thing, they've most of them have been assigned cell phones, so you can actually get a hold of them. What I'm finding, though, again, one of the struggles we're finding, one, I'll say that I don't think that the levels are up to speed, as you said. We're not getting as many audit requests. Our clients aren't getting audit requests as before. But what we're finding, though, is that they're trying to wrap up a lot of the ones that are outstanding since, you know, the late 2019. So auditors are getting to the point now where they're saying, listen, you know, give me the information. And if I don't get the information, I'm going to issue some sort of an assessment, because they're trying to get it off their plate. They do have a lot of inventory that they're trying to pass through and get it done. One, I do find that the auditors are trying to be patient, but you know, you get the conversation, well, my manager's asking me to close a file. So we do have to work with them. They'll try to be as nice and gracious as possible. But some of the challenges I think our clients are experiencing is that we do see with particularly CRA, where they don't deal with email, they're sending a lot of things via mail or sending a lot of things via fax. And the client will say, well, I'm not in the office either. So we do have to, you know, understand and make the auditors aware that, listen, if you're sending something, let us know where it's being sent. We can follow up on it. We can find it. If they're faxing it, you know, let us know where you fax it to. So again, they can follow up and find it, because those are some of the issues. When you've got a deadline and you want to file a notice of an objection or an appeal, you've got to really get that information in a timely basis so you can actually follow up. So those are some of the simpler ones that I'm finding right now.
So what I'm hearing is it's not quite business as usual in terms of most of the audits that you're working on. Jeff, your group obviously looks after Ryan's Tax Direct line, and it's often like the first point of contact when clients have an audit issue. What are you seeing?
Well, I mean, you know, in support of what Carol said, you know, I don't think the audit activity is definitely up to the speed it was pre-pandemic, but you know, whatever activity is out there, I think, you know, I support Carol's notion that, you know, they're trying to wrap some stuff up, and support of that is, you know, we're seeing requests for information with very short turnaround times. You know, there were situations where clients would get a notice in the past that, you know, they had to supply some information and they may have 30, 60 days to provide it. And now I'm seeing situations where auditors saying, hey, I need this information. You got a week or 10 days to produce it. And, you know, that's tough when you're working from home and, you know, maybe, you know, connectedness issues and stuff like that, you know, I think that just supports that they're trying to wrap up some old stuff and they're, you know, they're not necessarily, you know, I don't believe the individual auditor in most cases is trying to squeeze the taxpayer, but, you know, they're being squeezed, and so they got to squeeze, and it just makes things tough. The other thing I'm seeing too is some odd assumptions out there being made by auditors, and you know, we had one case where a fairly large client had an election in place for intercompany transactions. And so they didn't have to charge the tax. And I guess at some point in time, on some intercompany transactions, they actually went and charged the tax to the related party. And the auditor stumbled across it and said, well, because you charged the tax, it sounds like you've opted out of the election. And now we're going to assess you when you didn't charge the tax on some transactions because you've opted out of the election. And, you know, to me, that's nonsense. The legislation's fairly clear in that situation that you only opt out of it when you do so in prescribed form or manner. And that hasn't been done in this case. You know, we had conversations about it. The audit, the last I heard, was ongoing. So I don't know what the outcome of that, but I think that's kind of a little trend, is we may see some of these oddball antics creep up that could really catch people by surprise.
Do you think the fact that most of them still seem to be working remotely maybe contributes to communication issues? And then, you know, those issues can kind of make, you know, some of these assumptions or potential audit issues that they're digging into a little bit more difficult to resolve?
I would say so. I would say so. I think some of the things that I'm seeing too is where they'll say, well, let me get back to you. So they've got to consult their manager. And, you know, typically maybe they'd walk in the hallway, but now they've got to actually get on a call, you know, however they choose to do it. And it does take some time. And I think sometimes too, they need to realize that there's a delay on their end as well. Whereas again, on the flip side too, the same thing with our client, they'll ask a question. They'll say, well, when can I get it? Can I get it in another couple of weeks? I'm thinking, well, no, because we can't just go down the hallway and open a filing cabinet and find that piece of that document. So there's gotta be a leeway on both sides. So yeah, I think that the remote work is affecting the audits in some respects. I think that all the government agencies need to put that into consideration and say, listen, as we request information, you know, let's be reasonable with that request. And I think for clients to realize as well, if you do get a request that's not reasonable, you've got to come back and say, listen, I would love to entertain that right now, but here's when I would reasonably be able to get it to you. And I think the auditors need to understand that.
In your experience, have they been a little bit more accommodating just given, you know, what everybody's going through with the remote work environment, or is it still pretty much how it was before?
I would say they're being more accommodating again, and in the respects that they will ask for what they want and they will ask for a little sooner. But if you do come back and say, listen, that's not possible, There's usually no back and forth. There's no issue there. But I think it's very important for us to realize that, again, like Jeff said, there's some, you know, in legislation, some required timelines that you need to give in order to get a client, a taxpayer, reasonably to turn around some requests. You've got to give them enough time. And our clients we're asking them again, just be careful as the auditor asks for information. Just respond back and let them know when you can get it. Because for them, they've got to report back to their managers as well, so that everyone is, you know, I guess they've got workload for everybody. So everyone being reasonably assigned. So if you report back and let them know when you can get it, they can reassign that auditor to some other project in the meanwhile. And again, as I said, a lot of the auditors, they do have a lot of audits on the go. They will tell you, you know, hey, backed up working on this. Even as far as, you know, looking at some of the appeals and notice of objection, they're still out there as well. So they've been reassigned to do other projects to help clear backlog. So yeah, the requests they're making may be a little bit unreasonable, but let's work with them and they should work with us as well.
You know, that's a really good point. I mean, there can be a lot of pressure on auditors to finish their work. And I think if something got delayed or held over and now they're being asked to wrap it up, you know, I think that can maybe increase the pressure a little bit. So really good point, Carol. Jeff, are you seeing any trends or particular areas of focus in terms of maybe issues that they're looking at?
Yeah, I mean, the things that I would be worried about because of the length of time that's been going on with some of the pre-existing audits is, I think, you know, our clients need to be aware of statute barred items maybe being assessed. These things are dragging on long periods of time. And, you know, I think it's important that you got to take a look and make sure that when you do get an assessment that there isn't a statute barred item. And this is something that never really changed, but there's been that ongoing issue about wash transactions. From our experience, and Jim, you've seen it at the symposium, they don't always agree that a wash transaction is in place. And so, you don't always get that relief. They're certainly not going to hand it to you. And so, I think you need to be a little bit more diligent. And I think that's becoming an even bigger problem now, is that if it is a wash transaction, you're really having to apply for that. And it can be a little bit of a battle to get that relief. And that's unfortunate that that's the case. Aside from that, it's hard to get a handle on exactly what the issues are, but, I think it's some of the traditional things that always crept up, and maybe we're seeing it even more on exports. The documentation, is not just good enough to have the location on the invoice on a purchase order saying, hey, it's going to the U.S. and that's good enough for zero rating. I think auditors are taking more time and saying, prove it to me. Anyone can put a location on an invoice. That doesn't mean that that's where the goods went. So they're wanting to see more support of that. And that can be difficult. Often companies don't match their shipping documentation with invoices. And so that can be a real problem. But I think that's one area they're focusing on. And it gets a little bit even worse if it's a service, an export service, because there isn't shipping documentation to support that. And then you need to make sure you've got certifications from the client. And I think that often gets forgotten. They may do the work to prove that it's zero rated, but they don't get proof that the customer actually qualifies for it. So, I think in some respect, that's kind of easy pickings for the auditor. So I think those are the big areas for me that I'm seeing.
Yeah, good points. Carol, how about with your clients? What are you seeing, any particular areas of focus?
Strangely enough, I'm going to pick on the CRA again, but we do see a lot of them asking questions about FI. So I don't know whether it's something that has come up recently, but we have a couple of clients where they're saying, during the audit, the auditor is asking a question, is we're providing any financial services. So I don't know. I think maybe they've had time to sit down and look at some areas in more detail, maybe because they've been off and have been active during COVID. But that could be a one-off. But like I said, that was something that came up quite often. I'm thinking that's very interesting where they're going.
Sorry to interrupt. That is interesting because in the federal budget, they did introduce a new tax specifically applying to large FIs. So maybe it's not just that tax. Maybe they're also taking a little bit more rigid audit approach with those organizations. Go ahead.
Good point. But what I was going to ask though, is that, and it hasn't really come up, but I guess my mind is just thinking, we've spent like 2 years in COVID. And I think as we come out of COVID, one of the biggest concerns I think auditors are going to be looking at is what processes might have changed during COVID as a result of not being in the office. Jeff, you talked about, documentary requirements being used to document certain things, if your transactions have changed in any way, my concern is what's in place actually to substantiate those things. Whereas you may have had someone stamp a document, physical document, because you're in the office. Now you're working remotely. What's happening? What's changing? And where's that documentation going? Because we come out of COVID now, a couple of years later, they're going to be audit the COVID period. What do we have to support our transaction? So that's where my mind is sort of thinking, how do we assist our clients in that? And our advice again is making sure that if you have any transaction changes or any responsibility changes, that you're making sure that they're documented somehow, electronic files, have them available somehow, because you will have to account for that period of time. And things were a little bit challenging, but it doesn't take it out of audit, right? They still have to take a look at it eventually. So those are some things that I just thought I'd share with the group.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I just want to touch on that financial services, financial institution thing, because something came to mind as Carol was speaking. So, I have a friend and he's in finance and he works for a an organization that's involved in very, you know, the home renovation or renovation business. And, you know, there were some organizations that were crippled by the pandemic, but, you know, organizations in renovations, their business kind of went off the roof, particularly if it's related to homes, and people did a lot of work around their homes and, you know, stocks flying off the market. And I know a number of conversations he said that their organization is flush in cash. They got more cash right now because of that than they know what to do with. And so what do you do with cash? You invest it. And then all of a sudden you end up with high interest income. And that's kind of a trigger for the question, you know, are you an FI? Because you've got this interest income. So, you know, that may be something to look at is, you know, if your business has been going afterburners during the pandemic and you've had lots of cash and you've been investing it and raising interest income, that may be now something to look at if you get notified of an audit, because you may want to prepare yourself for that question, am I an FI? And I think there's things that you can do to kind of mitigate that. But, you know, if you got an answer right away, I think you can put the auditor on the heels. If you don't have an answer, well, now they got you in a corner against the ropes, right?
Yeah, really good point. I guess a lot of organizations, if they've got excess cash laying around, could find themselves being deemed to be an FI, which is really something important to consider. Yeah. Do you think they're targeting larger organizations? Like, logically, you'd think they'd go after the biggest taxpayers first to catch up whatever audit needed to be done there. But what are you seeing? Is there any pattern there, or?
I think from the companies that have been calling in and saying they're being audited, it tends to be some of our larger clients. So I think there's a focus on them. And, you know, from the government's perspective, I guess there's more to gain, or if they miss, you know, if the taxpayer misses paying tax that they owed, there's more for the government to lose. So, you know, I think they're the bigger fish, and let's get them and worry about the little guy or the smaller person down the road. I think there's definitely a trend there.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Jeff. I mean, again, at the end of the day, with limited resources, again, because, you know, there are, during the pandemic, a lot of individuals, whether they're auditors or not, have decided to take a shift in, you know, in their responsibility, time work. So I do know, again, a lot of colleagues, my friends who do work in the audit for governments have noted that there's a lot of retirements. So with limited resources, it'd be wiser, I guess, than for the government to go after the bigger fish, like you said, makes sense. And also too, a lot of the smaller businesses, you know, maybe again, limited access, limited revenues, you know, what is there to really catch? So it'd be better to get the large one before those periods go statute barred. So I would agree. If I kind of look at it, yeah, I'm looking and say it's our larger organizations that are calling more and saying, hey, I need some assistance. And I'm certainly sure that once things clear up a little bit, then we will have the smaller, medium-sized companies come knocking saying, hey, now they're calling me. But definitely, if I was the government, I'd go after the large ones too. Yeah. Can't blame them.
I think that, you know, the danger is, you know, they focus on the large businesses, and then at some point in time, they'll circle around and look at the medium and the smaller ones. They're going to be full period audits, and they're the ones that likely are going to have the concerns with the statute barred issues. So, you know, I think anytime you get notified of an audit and they tell you it's going to be 4 years, you've got to have statute barred, you know, flashing in your head going, okay, be careful. There's going to be old stuff. And then there's waivers too, right? They know they're coming in. Hey, give me a waiver. Well, let's talk.
I was just going to say, you both mentioned, you know, statute barred situations, which means that the auditor's running out of available audit period. There is a time limit that they have to adhere to. Are you seeing or expecting to see more waiver requests as audit activity picks up?
I think, you know, leading, like going into the pandemic, I was seeing more requests for waivers, like right off, you know, the moment they come in or the moment they notify you, they were asking for waivers. And that was a little bit unusual. So I expect that trend to continue.
Yeah, and I'm not too sure what to expect. Again, I'm just thinking. I know that there will likely be challenges, like I said, people coming out of pandemic to get themselves back in order. But yeah, no doubt that may be something we do actually see. Again, as you said, Jeff, we should just prepare ourselves for that and be able to say, okay, you know what, we're going to sign a waiver for what period is a specific issue. And that's important too, making sure that you understand what the waiver is for. If it's for a specific issue, a specific time, arranged with the auditor to get it done, make it available to them. And again, prepare to cancel that as soon as you have the opportunity to do that. So that's not set, the waiver doesn't sit open for that audit period too long.
Yeah, and kind of hand in hand with that too, is that, you know, this is another trend that I saw going into the pandemic, was we were seeing more assertions that a client was negligent in their handling of their books. And I kind of expect that that's going to ramp up as well. You know, anytime they see the same issue carry over from one audit to another, I think you're going to see assertions of negligence, and that can have substantial penalties. I mean, for GST purposes, it could be a 25% penalty. I believe in Quebec, the negligence penalty is 50%. So that's one way to kind of recoup some of these pandemic program costs that the governments have put in place, is raise large penalties or issue large penalties. And I think a lot of times, you know, people don't understand. They don't understand really what it is to be negligent. And, you know, there's some that may just, okay, I got it. Well, you know, maybe you got to look into it. And maybe the cautionary note is, you know, if waivers are introduced or an assertion of negligence is introduced, that's the time you need to contact the tax direct line. That's the time you need to talk to advisory, Carol's group, and get some advice on how to handle it. Because I think it's important to kind of shut those things down right at the start, as opposed to, you know, at the 11th hour as the audit's being finalized.
Yeah, good point. I mean, getting aggressive, you know, with the audits, I guess, would be one way to generate more revenue. And interestingly enough, in the last federal budget, I think they talked about allocating $1.2 billion over 5 years to increase staffing at the Canada Revenue Agency. I don't know that that's all auditors. Some of that might be focused on, you know, tax evasion and avoidance and aggressive tax planning and things of that nature. But it is interesting. That said, I guess it could also be something else. I had heard rumors that, you know, both Revenue Quebec and the Canada Revenue Agency, particularly in Quebec, had experienced more turnover than they expected during the pandemic. So if that's true, I guess they would have to do more hiring and potentially train all those auditors before they could get them out into the field. Have you heard anything about that, or any sense of how the staffing levels might be at different Canadian tax authorities?
I have seen job postings. You know, I've seen job postings for Revenue Quebec, so I know the route there. I'm reasonably sure that I've seen some for the CRA as well. So I think they're hurting for staff, just like anyone else, right? There's no shortage of demand for people to work.
It's a tight labor market for sure. You're right about that.
So, you know, I think they're hurting just as much as anyone else. And, you know, there are companies that are, you know, throwing money around to make sure that they've got people to do what they want. I'm not sure that the government has the resources to necessarily throw money at people to keep them there. You know, sure that the government prints money, but I mean, that's not really their role, is to just keep on handing out money. And so there's a limit to what they can do. So I think definitely they're hurting. And I think Carol touched on retirements. I mean, that makes sense. You know, my experience leading up to the pandemic is that, you know, a lot of the auditors were on the more senior side, so it probably stands to reason that they would retire. And I think, you know, I don't know the true retirement thing, but typically in government organizations, it's a combination of years service an age that will trigger retirement. So, you know, they may not be truly 65 years old, but, you know, a traditional retirement age, but they may be retiring saying, hey, I've had enough of this. It's time to cash the chips in and let's move on. So, you know, I think it's the demand for people and people retiring. They're going to be challenged. And it's not easy to hire people to audit taxes. Like, taxes take some time to understand, and, you know, that can lead to some issues, right? If they don't understand the tax, how can they audit it properly? And that's a concern, right?
I was definitely going to say that, Jeff. I totally agree with you, because as you look at that shift now, you've got all these new faces, new individuals, not the ones who may have understood large corporations. Or, I mean, here's a point in case. I mean, I had an auditor ask a question. I turned to him, I said, do you realize the size of the company you're auditing? It was almost as if he expected you to go into a drawer and pull an invoice. I said, you know, it's not a printed document you're asking for. So, you know, you're going to get these new faces coming in, and they're going to maybe expect to see things a certain way, or maybe they're just not aware of how large businesses operate because they're new faces. I mean, similar to when the ministry shifted from PST to GST, and all these PST auditors went to the CRA, it was a challenge because they'd walk in expecting, you know, an audit to be performed in a certain manner, and it wasn't that way, or expecting a taxpayer to have certain documents available, and it's not done that way. So I'm expecting, again, moving forward, that maybe some of our clients will experience issues with the auditors. But again, it's for them to understand what are your rights, what are the requirements, and again, have patience with the auditor. But again, if they're off, you know, let them know that, you know, maybe this is what they're expecting is not available. It's not available in that manner. Here's what we have. So educate them. I think we're going to spend more time educating some of these new auditors. And as they learn, then, you know, that helps the audit as well. So taking time to educate them as they audit, to say, listen, you may think our business works this way, but here's how we actually work. One of our greatest advantages, our advantage as well at Ryan, is that sometimes when the auditor asks for something, don't just give them the information and let them put it together. Give them a complete package and say, listen, here's what you want, and show them what they need to see, provide the entire package to them. And that will help too when you have junior auditors coming in play and say, listen, here's what's happening. Here's how it works. Here's all the supporting documentation, almost like doing the work for them to help them along with their audit. So those are some things I think that we can maybe provide to our clients to help them out as they move forward and you know, in the coming years with these audits.
That's good advice. We've talked a lot about some of the issues that are currently taking place with Canadian audits. Given that they had to kind of restructure a lot of their processes during the pandemic, and which is, of course, ongoing, have you seen any improvements? You know, did anything, you know, actually get better as a result of changes they had to make?
I was going to say, being able to actually locate some of these auditors has been better. As opposed to before, you know, they a lot of these auditors are field auditors, and they give you a desk line number. So if you got an issue, you either had to leave a message on a voicemail that went to a desk and you couldn't get a hold of them. So I do find now it's better. All government, whether they're auditors or maybe appeals officers, I find that because they all have cell phones, at least the majority of them do now, or they're using, you know, where the actual phone rings to their computer, so wherever they are remotely, I find getting in touch with an auditor or a government agent is a lot easier. So that, I think, has improved. And as a result of that, I think sometimes getting answers to questions a little quicker, that's also been helpful as well.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, I don't know if it's all aspects of the CRA, but I certainly know in some of them, they've got expanded hours of operation. So it used to be, you know, 8:30 to 5 is the only time you could contact them. I had a personal experience. I had to reach out to them, and I said, well, what have I got to lose? So I called them at 8 o'clock at night. I managed to get hold of a person at 8:15, and that was never the case. So, you know, there may be more availability now. I don't know. I think in the case that I had, and it was a personal income tax issue, they were open till 9 o'clock, and that's kind of unheard of. Like, you know, it was always my philosophy in years of dealing with tax, if you wanted to get the CRA, you had to call them 8:30 the moment the switchboard opened up, or else you never got hold of them. So, you know, that may be a positive change if we've got improved access to auditors, they've got cell phones that they can use. You know, unfortunately, you have to go through the warning that it may be an unsecure phone that sometimes takes like 15 minutes to go through. But nonetheless, if we can call them at more convenient hours, or maybe as we need them, that would be an advantage. You know, I think sometimes you don't get through and you go, well, I tried and that's it, right? And well, that's not the right approach.
Good to know. Is there such a thing as a secure phone these days? I'm not, you know, I guess they need to protect themselves. I know they have permitted a lot more electronic communication, you know, in the early stages of the pandemic. I guess, are they maintaining that? I imagine they're going to, maybe they'll keep some of those policies going forward. That I think that would be helpful.
I think for most of the agencies I've spoken to, they said that's the plan. They're actually keeping that. I mean, even as far as, I mean, before audits, even the registration. So for most entities now, most of the government bodies, it's all online. It's so easily done online, being able to do everything online. The one challenge, though, is, again, with a lot of these electronic requirements, is just getting it all set up. So that's the more frustrating piece of it, getting it set up. But once it's all set up and in place, it works well. As I said, CRA is still a little bit behind with their fax machine, which they still use. We need to get them on board. But I think it's going to be really helpful because everyone else is online. Everyone's remote. And once we can get everyone on base, it'll be a lot easier to do a lot of these audits again. And the auditors having access to the documents that are likely going to be electronic anyway. So then the auditor can now do their work from wherever. I mean, we talked about, you know, I think one of our seminars talking about having a place for the auditor. There may not be a need for that anymore. So in other words, they're going to get the file. They're going to do the file in their basement. They're going to do the file in their office or do the file wherever. And it's going to be that sort of a communication. So maybe the audits will flow a lot freer. I do find, though, that some auditors still don't use like Zoom. They can't use Zoom. I think it was a CRA auditor said they don't have access to get onto Zoom. But again, once these things are in place, it's a lot easier to have those remote opening audit meetings and have, you know, discussions remotely and get the audits moving along a lot faster.
Well, good discussion, Carol and Jeff. I guess last thing I'd like to ask you is maybe get out your crystal balls a little bit and try to predict where do you see the audit activity going? We know it's got to increase. You know, third quarter, fourth quarter this year, where do you see the overall activity headed?
I think third and fourth quarter, you know, get through the summer. That's when we're going to see it ramp up. I think it is somewhat contingent on, you know, whether the pandemic stays at these levels that we're currently at, which is maybe you could argue is not a pandemic anymore. But if things ramp up again in the fall and the winter months, that could certainly have an impact on audit activity. But I think that's when we're going to see it ramp up, definitely.
Yeah, and I would agree with you, Jeff. I can see, again, third, fourth quarter clients calling and saying, hey, I just got a letter. Auditor wants to come in. So, I mean, I'm thinking, though, that maybe the actual physical work may not get done until, you know, to January 2023, when a lot of companies are more comfortable. But I do see the requests. I do see, because things are settling down quite some, and I think the requests will start coming out in that late fourth quarter, and maybe looking to see things get back into, you know, to speed in early 2023.
So perhaps something for taxpayers to look forward to.
Happy New Year.
Or maybe not. Well, thank you again, Carol and Jeff. Great discussion today. We appreciate your time.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
That concludes this episode of Ryan Talks Tax. If you have any questions about an upcoming or ongoing audit, please contact the Ryan Tax Direct line at 1-800-667-1600 or info@ryanco.ca. And please let us know what you think about the podcast. You can send your questions, comments, or suggestions to webinars@ryan.com. Thanks for listening.